Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan, and I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, welcome everybody on Monday, Snowgeddon. It took a while for the snow to come, but eventually it did, and pretty significant. That doesn't slow down the Chuck and Julie Show. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, the True Straight Up, brought to you by
AmericasCitizenPress.com and Denver Cenogenics, Dr. Julie McCallan, who, as Chuck says, is keeping her alive.
No, keeping me alive.
Keeping you alive. Well, you keep her alive, too. No. Hey.
I don't think so.
At the bottom of the hour, we're going to be talking with Dr. Roy Johnson. We had him on a couple weeks ago. He was just great.
And living downtown, I had a Trump flag flying from his condo.
They made him take it down.
But
he's got some interesting information. He did some COVID comparisons. But wanted to start off with one of our good friends, Arash Mosala. He is a conservative social media influencer. Known Arash for a long time. So Arash, let me go ahead and say, hey, welcome and thank you for your time this afternoon.
Thank you guys for joining you. I mean, this is great to be here.
You're a partner with Ted Trumpa, who a lot of people know from this program and many others now. But you've gone big time. You're on TV.
We're joking before we have to go through your booker now. Why don't you tell folks, you know, a little bit about you and exactly what a conservative social media influencer is? Because we need more of you, I think.
Let's see. I am a millennial. I'm a first-generation American. You know, I'm kind of introducing myself to your audience.
Yeah.
Born and raised in Nevada. Social media is the new platform right now. You know, you guys are on here with the podcast online. I mean, that's where it's at, Twitter, Instagram. So I've kind of really been vocal in the past few months, actually, just kind of railing against cancel culture, the PC police, as I like to call it. It's just run amok. And
right.
I think more people need to be speaking out on it, which is what I try to do, just on my little social media platform that I have on Twitter.
Let's go ahead and we'll give you a pump here. How can people, if people want to go to Twitter, what are you?
So it's at Arash, my first name, A-R-A-S-H, and then Mosaleh, my last name, M-O-S-A-L-E-H, pretty phonetical. I've just been, you know, chiming in on things that I feel are important topics to be discussing nowadays.
I know our guests or our listeners know Ted is a Democrat strategist. You are a conservative social media influencer. Talk to us a little bit about how you became, I guess, drew your conservative views.
You know, I mean, I like to say I think, therefore I'm a Republican. So it just comes down to more reading, just more being aware of what's going on. And, you know, not everything that sounds great is, you know, people always want to say, you know, free this, free that. But, you know, it's not really free. So for me, it's a lot of smaller government. And it's the idea of kind of railing against the whole identity politics of the day. You know, as I was saying, I'm a millennial, first generation American, gay. So these are all those hot button, you know, those identity politics issues that the left loves to grab and cling on to. And, you know, if you're this, you have to be left. You have to be socialist. You have to be just for free everything. And I'm here to say that that's not the case. And I'm a prime example of that. And I think
were you on the right when high school, were you?
In high school? No, actually. I think when you're younger, I'm only 33, but when you're younger, you're a little bit more idealistic. You do kind of lean more towards those traditionally democratic liberal ideas. But I think for me, as I got older, I've gotten away from that. So, I mean, actually, I'm the only one in my family who is, you know, conservative in this way.
But, you know, my dad used to always say, because I used to be a Democrat, too, and my dad used to always say, if you're not a Democrat in your 20s, you have no heart. And if you're not a Republican in your 40s, you have no brain. So, which is similar to what you said, I think, therefore, I'm Republican. Well, let's talk a little bit about recently, because I know, like you, we had been trying to gain Twitter followers. And I know you are just reaching a milestone. And then the great Twitter purge of any and all conservative things happened. What is it that makes you, and you kind of touch on this, and because to be honest, you kind of inspire me, because I was thinking of just abandoning Twitter and abandoning Parler, just saying heck with it. It's just too hard. They won't let you. But you're saying no. You think it's important that we all have a platform and keep that platform as much as possible.
Exactly. You know, like you said, with that great Twitter purge, I think when the president was also banned from it, and everyone, even Mike Lindell, you know, from a pillow CEO to the president to everyday people like us, you know, I actually was surprised that my Twitter was still there and it survived the morning after. So, you know, that really wanted me to focus even more and even have more of a voice, you know, despite everyone being canceled. You know, that's one of the main things I talk about is cancel culture these days, and just anyone who, you know, the left disagrees with is just shunned and banned and banished. And, you know, that's not right. So,
Well, you became a little bit of a celebrity area by taking on Tay Anderson, the infamous director Anderson.
Denver Public Schools.
And so tell us about that.
Well, you know, that goes back to Thanksgiving last year. He had posted something. I called him out for it. You know, little old me compared to here's director Tay with 30,000 plus followers in his Twitter mob, you know, his little army of minions online, who most of them I don't even think live in the state.
Right.
Anyways, I had called him out. And long story short, we got into a little bit of a Twitter spat. I'm surprised he even saw my tweet in the first place because I didn't tag him. But he called me out. He put me on blast to his followers. Like, who is this guy, Rosh, for calling me out? And then he blocked me. I was going to respond back. And then it said, oh, blocked by Tay Anderson. So
Did he block you as a public official, as an elected official?
Well, here's the thing. He blocked me on his personal account. The personal account is the one with 30,000 followers. That's the one that he loves to pimp out his Target baby registry for his kid. That's one who he gets into wars with people and calls Hancock and Hickenlooper trash. So
GoFundMe pages. He pimps his GoFundMe page on there too.
GoFundMe page, the Target baby registry, you name it. So that's his personal account. That's where he blocked me. His official account, the one that's like at Director Tay, that one technically I don't think he's been blocking people on. And that one, but that one is the one that has far fewer Twitter
followers. And he doesn't use it. So
I mean, at the end of the day, he's using his platform to attack people, block people. I think in my mind, gain personally because of 30,000 people who follow him. I mean, sure, they're going to just send him money. So,
Well, it is. And so folks who don't know, so Tay Anderson is a very young Denver school board member who thinks he should be king of the world, basically. Exactly. And yeah, the most recent outrageous thing he did is he put an announcement on, a very slickly produced announcement, by the way, that wasn't just Tay doing a little selfie, I don't think, saying that he's going to be a dad. Now, he's not married, okay? So it's not clear. And he put a link to his Target registry. So we checked, and people are freaking buying this guy baby gifts. I mean, it's to me, that's I've never seen an elected official pimp out their kid. I mean, I've never seen something like this.
I mean, that not only should disgust, I mean, obviously disgust us. I mean, we're on the opposite end of politically, but it should really disgust everybody. You know, I mean, nobody should be comfortable with this, regardless if you're on the left or the right. And so, and here's the thing where I really get like fired up about it is I think here in Denver, the Denver media, with the exception of, you know, the conservative media talk radio, no one really holds Tay Anderson accountable. They just take his word for everything. There was that whole scuffle in Denver Health's lobby where he started yelling racism. and people just cover it just for what it is. There's no.
Whenever he walks into Target or any other place, he finds himself immediately attacked by racists and, right. or any kind of store. I mean, wherever he walks, he's just walking.
Racist target.
It's a pattern of behavior. And I think there actually was another incident at a Target or some store where
it was.
He had collapsed or something. I mean, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
There's always some kind of
age 22, if you're doing that, you know, that's not good.
There's some kind of drama going on all the time, and it always circles back to race and victimhood. And, you know, and in my mind, I'm just a private citizen who, and I live in Denver. So, and he's a school board member for the district. I think at large.
Yeah.
And even though I don't have children, I can still have an opinion and like voice my opinion as a private.
Well, you pay taxes. So you pay for that.
Right.
You pay
right. for it. And let me ask you about that then, because I do think, as you said, the cancel culture, it's out there. It's alive. It's and well, I mean, Chuck and I know, right? We got that go from KNUS because a Twitter mob attacked us.
Right.
And I think corporations, I think individuals, we all need to stand up. But I mean, talk a little bit about that, because you get hammered by his minions, many of whom I think aren't even real, you know.
Right. Probably those are the bots.
Right.
You know, I mean, I hate to say it, but I think I've been able to survive what I've tweeted out or put on Instagram a lot of partly because of just who I am and like being a minority status. You know, when I was tweeting out this stuff about Tay Anderson, people wanted to call me out for my white privilege. They're like, here's a white guy talking about a black person and, you know, he's racist. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I did my 23andMe report. There's not even 1 ounce of European whatever. My mom is from Mexico. My dad is from Iran. So joke's on you. And then after I defend myself, then I get called, well, he passes as white. That's the new... The new leftist kind of term. You know, as you pass as something, so therefore you are, and then therefore you can't speak out. So, I mean, regards to the cancel culture, I mean, I think I've been able to kind of skate by because I am not exactly, no offense to you guys, but blonde, blue eyes, or, you know, to Ted. I mean, I hate to say it, but that's the reality of where we are today.
But also, though, you're courageous. Frankly, Arash, I'm going to give you some credit there. I mean, Chuck and I can pass as white also. and it takes courage, we know, to do that. It's just easy to shut up and say, okay, I really don't have the time or the energy for a Twitter war. And people get mean, and I'm sure people get personal. And sooner or later, if they haven't already, they'll try to take it out on you.
Well, but the left has taken it down to a science. Where, I mean, when they went after us, it wasn't just a couple people. It was hundreds.
They mobilized and they come in and they just.
And they plan. And they plan. And the conservatives have nothing equivalent. I mean, we were lucky. We had lots of loyal listeners who did stand up for us. But the station folded like a cheap suit. I mean, the first whiff of the calls from the Twitter mob, and it just. Crumbly.
Everyone's walking on eggshells. Corporations are scared. And I think it's more, I mean, obviously it's more about the bottom line. I really doubt that a lot of these corporations, you know, some of them are, but I think at the end of the day, it's about money versus having like their heart of gold and wanting to do the right thing.
Right.
So, well, I can tell you a lot of them do want to be viewed as being woke or at least sensitive to woke
or
terrified that they'll be
Coca-Cola. I mean, eBay for banning all the books from Dr. Seuss.
Seuss, right, which is, well, you know, in the cancel culture, let me ask you about a couple of current examples going on. I know that, like, for instance, we got Piers Morgan, who simply said he thought Meghan Markle was lying, which I think there's some evidence for that. And at any rate, he thought that.
Yeah.
So she calls and complains, and he's off the air. CBS, Sharon Osbourne says, you know, look, he can say that he thought she was lying, and immediately go, racist. And now they pulled that show for a little bit. I mean,
did you see what else came out of that whole interview? I just read this the other day. There's something called digital blackface now.
What?
So digital blackface. So a lot of people... After the interview that Meghan and Harry did with Oprah, they were sharing memes and little online graphics and videos of Oprah with other, talking about other issues, but clips from the interview. So apparently, though, now it's appropriation and it's called digital blackface for people who are not a person of color, POC, which is the new PC term, to be sharing these memes and viral videos of Oprah in other scenarios. Because unless you are a person of color, you can't do that. And now it's called digital blackface.
But unless you're Candace Owens. Now, another conservative thinks she can't do any of that either, because then she's a racist and needs to be canceled, right?
At the end of the day, when it comes to female empowerment and support, I mean, none of that is going to Candace Owens. It's only for if they support your cause.
Right, exactly. Well, where do you think it's going? I mean, I read a couple of articles. One said we're doomed, it's only going to get worse. And I read another one that said that particular columnist thought people were starting to catch on. And people were saying, we can't cancel everything and everyone. I mean, from what you see, because I think you're much more in that world than we are even, what do you see?
I mean, I don't see like this, the woke mob, like, unfortunately, I don't really see them laying down and letting their guard down, because as soon as they start getting the first whiff and taste of, you know, canceling whatever, if they just mobilize, they're going to keep going. So, I mean, it started off with the remember last year was the Confederate statues.
Right.
And, you know, stuff that, okay, it could, like, okay, fine. I mean, I don't really care if there's a Confederate statue there or not. But then once it goes to, you know, Christopher Columbus and the other statues, Abraham Lincoln, okay, now it's still statues, but then it permeates into the culture with cereal boxes and syrup and children's books and cartoons and movies all from decades and decades ago. At what point are they going to stop? And I just don't think it's going to stop anytime soon, unfortunately, unless something radically changes and we can't stop talking about it and speaking up. Because the left wants to downplay it. They want to say, you know, this is just a Republican talking point. Republicans and conservatives, that's all they have to hang their hat on is cancel culture. But I mean, today it's our stuff that we care about. Tomorrow it could very well be theirs. And I think overall, whether left or right, I mean, it's wrong to ban, burn books, whatever, the digitally burning of books. It's wrong on all sides.
On accounts. What do people your age say? I'll tell you this. Let me preface this because I know.
Your age. Have you taken a survey of people your age?
Because, I mean, you people. I'm talking, I pass as white. Now, my daughter and her boyfriend are your age. And I know they were both stunned to see YouTube and Twitter, what they've done to us, and Facebook, where they banned us. They're like, they didn't believe it when we first told them, right? And I tell them, we had YouTube went back and it pulled the show from December 11th. I mean, I don't even know what we said. So they're going just to last week. So they're going back in time. Are though people, do you think in your generation, becoming more aware of this and more upset about it? Or are they going to be just more intimidated by it and say, you know what, I'm just going to go do my mountain bike ride and I'm not even going to deal with it?
You know, I think, unfortunately, it's the latter. I mean, I think people who are my age, and I think most of them, at least publicly, are on the left, just by the nature of being younger, I don't think that they are as outraged as they should be, you know, which I think is sad, because today it's certain issues and things that are being canceled. Tomorrow, like I said, it'll be another thing.
Right.
I guess it'll come down to when it affects them, which I think at that point it will be too late. But I do think it is also an age issue, an age difference. I mean, my parents are, I would say, pretty liberal, and I mean, they're Democrats, card-carrying Democrats. And when I tell them about, you know, they cancel Dr. Seuss, or, you know, do you have a problem with Speedy Gonzalez? My mom is from Mexico. Hey, Speedy Gonzalez apparently is bad now. What do you think about that? And she's saying that's ridiculous. And so, she's on the left. So, I mean, I do think it also, it's the age gap.
Right. Well, and it's an awareness issue. And again, that's why I think it is important to have influencers, you know, like you. You know, we got the Kardashians on the one hand, so they do their great thing. But we need other people. And the left is, we got the New York Times, the Washington Post. I mean,
unless the left is never going to rein in itself. It is just never going to rein in itself.
No.
Until there are enough Arajas, there's enough pushback every time they do it. And when there's enough pushback and enough people get mad at woke corporations, then it might change. But if you're depending on the goodwill of the left, it doesn't exist. It does not exist.
I mean, I would like to think that kids my age, kids, or young people, you know, millennials, I would like to think that there are more like me, and hopefully there are, but they're just afraid to speak out. And ironically, afraid to speak out against cancel culture because they're going to get canceled.
Right.
So, well,
you know, I've told this story before. You know, I worked at Fox 31 for years, and it was hard as a Trump supporter to speak out sometimes in newsroom meetings. I would be out on the street and people would say stuff, and every time they were like, oh, we should do this to all the Trump supporters. And I would look at the reporter and say, well, I'm a Trump supporter. And they'd be like, oh, but it's hard to do that.
They would be like speechless when you said that.
Exactly. And they were all scooch away like something bad.
But the good part about that, and I've lived in Democratic strongholds my entire life, whether New York City, where I was born, or Aspen or Denver, it makes you stronger. I mean, when you offer an opinion, you expect to be attacked and you're ready to be attacked.
Right.
You talk to some lefties who have never really and then they just start stuttering.
And they go racist.
Yeah, that's all they got left is racism, homophobia, and whatever else it is, you know.
Those trigger words that once you're labeled that, it's over. And then, I mean, you really can't have a conversation with them.
No, they don't want a conversation because they wouldn't win it. They're not ill-prepared for verbal battle. They really are. And so it's kind of fun. I mean, you could take on a crowd of 20 of them.
So much of it, I think, is awareness. I will say this at some of the young people I know. I'll say the same thing to you. Did you know this? Did you know that? And they'll be like, no, I didn't know that. And then they're like, well, no, that's not right. So you do make a difference. Let me, because I know you got to go. I want to let you read a couple of comments, though, just so you know. Sandra says she really likes you. You're well-read and well-spoken. So happy he's a guest. She said, I can see why you and Ted are a couple. And then she points out there's a big difference between we old folks and youngins. That's why it's so important to have Arash and his age group think as he does.
Well, I think it's great that Arash is in my age group.
Yeah. So what are you planning to do? And I guess any advice to any people out there who want to go ahead and try to become an influencer in whatever their little or big world is?
You know, we just can't be afraid just to speak out, you know, whether it's, I mean, on Twitter, and I only have, you know, 1,000 followers, right? I mean, that's nothing compared to like a Tay Anderson, for example. I can't mobilize a whole group of people. But, you know, that doesn't stop me. You know, it's, you know, you have to start somewhere, and you have to, even if it's in your own family or your parents, or, you know, you don't have to get into a fight all the time, and you're never going to change someone's mind right away. But at least you shouldn't be afraid to say what you feel, what's on your mind, even if you're going to get canceled for it. Because, I mean, once you start speaking up and you don't get canceled, like, I mean, I haven't yet, knock on wood, you know, it kind of empowers you. And, you know, as long as the left is going to be holding on to this power and using it for their purposes, you know, we can't back down. I mean, like, you know, I'm preaching to the choir here, but right. We just gotta stay strong and, you know, say what we feel, whether people don't like it or not. And if they don't like it or not, that's their problem.
Yeah, the other thing, and I know this is something that Ted has said too, is we all need to listen more. And I kind of want to say to him, Ted, like, you Democrats need to listen more. We listen.
They're not going to listen.
No, I know.
You got to give up on them recognizing you, tolerating you. You got to stand strong like Arash is doing and gather more people to you, because that's the only way anything will change. That's the only way anything will change.
Well, but I think that what I was going to say is it shows that we show them we're tolerant. You know,
we do not show them we're quote unquote tolerant.
Chuck's not tolerant.
No, I have opinions. I have beliefs. Mine aren't just kind of like, I don't believe in anything. I'm just, you know, I believe in things.
To Chuck's point, when we hear media say, you know, we all should just get along, we all should just come together.
Yeah.
I think what they're really saying is we Republicans, we on the right, we conservatives just need to shut up and we get along with them.
Yes.
And they can just continue doing what they want. So I do see that point, but I do see your point too, Julie.
There you go.
That was good. All right, I guess we get my kumbaya moment. I have to try. Okay, so final thing. Are you growing more? Are you other places? Or just right now, just check you out on Twitter? Or
on Twitter, on Instagram. You know, I've downloaded other stuff like Telegraph and Clubhouse, and I'm still trying to figure those out.
They're tricky.
I feel like that's even for like, what is it, Gen Y?
Right.
Like, this, even the ones younger than me. And I'm still trying to figure that out. I can do Twitter and Instagram right now.
Sandra's asking, do you do Gab or Parler at all? Or
I haven't downloaded that yet, Sandra, but I'll look into that too. I mean, it seems pretty easy to learn. I just have to actually take the time to figure that out.
Trust me, it's complicated. It is. And God knows what our 9-year-old or 10-year-old
son
got
Rev. He's
I
got
mean,
that.
Yeah, he plays video games with his iPad and now FaceTiming with his friends
and
all
his computer
at the same
screen.
Time. Yeah. So yeah, he's ever. All right. Well,
thanks, Raj. It's great to have you on. Great to see you.
That was fun. And you know, I gotta admit, like because I've wanted to come on your show before, but I always was a little bit afraid, you know, like, what am I going to say? Like, who am I? Like, I'm not really anybody. But I mean, there always has to be like a first time. So I'm glad that I was able to do this with you guys. And you guys are my friends for a long time. And so I appreciate the time you gave me.
No, you're great. We'll have you back. Absolutely. Thank you so much, Arash. Have a great rest of your day.
You guys. Take care.
All right. So you guys check him out. You can go to Twitter. It's just at Arash, A-R-A-S-H, and his name comes up. He was great. And you know, he is right. I meant that when I said he inspired me, because I do more of the social media stuff than you. Yeah. And it gets, you know, sometimes it's so discouraging. You'll post something and then YouTube takes it down and then Facebook throttles it. And then, you know, you look and they knocked out, you know, a third of your Twitter followers. But I think Arash is right. You just keep going. You don't back down. And if they pull it, they pull it, you know, and you just post another one up there. So I think that's important.
I think it is.
We got Dr. Roy Johnson. Oh, he's here too. Want to go right to Dr. Johnson?
Why not? One. Bam, bam, bam.
Speaking of telling the truth, you guys will all be relieved to know that Facebook is now going to go ahead and start banning any anti-vaccine talk or any not even anti-vaccine talk. They're just going to be monitoring it just in case we might say something bad or wrong about it. So we can all rest assured now that we'll be getting to the truth on that, just like we got to the truth on that Washington Post story about the Trump call to Georgia. It was totally made up and false, and they had to take it back.
Remember his call to the Ukraine all of a sudden wasn't accurately reported. I mean,
Don Jr. Meeting with Russians. Oh, that wasn't true either.
So you can count on the Washington Post, New York Times, what they call the trustworthy sources.
Right, exactly. And Facebook, of course, won't fact check them. No. Like I was saying, Facebook pulled our show, but has Facebook pulled all of the fake videos and the fake stories about Trump and that Georgia phone call? No, they haven't. So that's why the truth is so important. And one of the guys, we had him on a couple weeks ago, and you were so good, Dr. Johnson. We're bringing you back. Dr. Roy Johnson joining us here on Zoom. So go ahead and unmute your microphone. And we do have the chart that you sent us. Okay. You can talk to your professor. So because it's like, he was like, you guys have PowerPoint? I'm like, I don't think so. I can do Instagram though. But why don't you go ahead and what you did is you sent me some information. It was a column you were working on where you talked about comparing states that the economic state of states and the lockdown state of states with other states. And that was confusing.
That's you lost me on that one, Julie.
But what you found was what we've all suspected, but this is just actual information about the lockdowns were a joke, caused all kinds of unnecessary economic pain.
Let him talk, Julie.
I'm doing a prelude without any point.
You're good.
That is being bossy. Thank you, sir, for your time again today.
Yeah, my pleasure. Yes. So this is the chart. I don't know.
Well, you can go ahead and see it. Do you want me to have him bring that up?
Yeah, go ahead and bring it up because it's prettier than I am anyway. Yeah.
Is that there you go.
Wow. So
perfect. Wow. Look at that. Okay, guys. Yeah. So for you and your listeners and audience, what I did here in this second book that I'm writing on the follow up to 34 Days of Holding is now looking at the first 100 days of number 46. He's a name that will not be spoken, right? I don't want to say his name. He's too stupid. But if you look at what the status of the country is, what are the 10 worst states to live in if you want to work for a living, okay? That's on the left-hand side, at least my left hand.
Okay, Hawaii, starting with Hawaii.
starting with Hawaii, number 50. Okay. Look where Colorado is, number 47.
Yay! We're 47. We're 47.
One of the top worst states.
Paulus, you're
a great job. Don't you remember the Post and Colorado Politics and Phil Anschutz and he's done a great job keeping us unemployed.
Exactly. Well, so there's two things going on here. I got two sources. One of them is from labor statistics. I get it through a group called Statista. It's government statistics. And that's the unemployment numbers that are right down the middle there. So on the left-hand side, you can see that the 10 worst states in the country, all run by Democrats. Okay. Then on the right-hand side, ask the opposite question. What are the 10 best states? In other words, what are the top 10 states with the lowest unemployment? They're all run by Republicans.
Huh. Surprise, surprise.
There is a shocker. Yeah. Well, but did we all live longer? At least did we have our lives saved by the god-awful economic the worst states?
That's a good question. So actually, if you look at this under the C-19 deaths column, on the left-hand side, the Democrats, because of the lockdown, have bad unemployment. You know, that's connecting the dots. And they did that to protect us. And they did a really bad job because
I'll say, look at the numbers, 156,000 compared to 21,000. Now, some of this, I'm sure these are bigger states with bigger cities, but California, still, theoretically, if they were locking us down and they're all wearing their masks, everyone should be alive. They should have had like zero deaths practically.
Yeah. Well, in fact, and they're just, let's go to the next slide, but not quite yet.
Okay.
Flip over to the Republic to the right hand side. The best states that had the least lockdown or no lockdown, they have the best employment or the lowest unemployment.
Yeah.
Also have the fewer deaths. So the top 10 states are all Republican-run states. They accounted for 5% of the COVID deaths in the country.
Wow.
On the left-hand side, the Democratic worst 10 states, and people can see who they are, accounted for 33%, one-third of the deaths in the country from those 10 states. And that's because, and so they have higher deaths, but they also have the worst unemployment because they have the most stringent lockdowns.
So, clearly, I think that's one of the things I think we're seeing on a national level is the lockdowns did not stop people from getting COVID. I mean, we could go into all kinds of other arguments about COVID, but even just looking at those statistics, the lockdowns did not prevent people from dying. I mean, what was it, a year ago today that we started the 15 days to flatten the curve, right? All right.
15 days to get rid of democracy, yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Okay.
Dr. Fauci is, in fact, in the book,
okay.
Can I do an advertisement?
Yes. There you go.
In the book I have in the back, it's called Fabulous Fauci's Famous Flip-Flops and Faux Pas.
Ah.
And it's a real long chapter.
He was clearly, beyond.
Wouldn't you just love in your dreams that Fauci could meet a Andrew Cuomo future? Wouldn't that just be great? Oh,
Dr. Fauci pinched me one time.
I'd sleep a lot better if that happened real soon.
Oh, yes.
All right. Well, so what other research did you do and can you tell us about?
Yeah. Okay. So we've looked at the effect on the economy by Democrat run versus Republican run, the shutdowns, how it impacted protecting people, and also how it impacted the economy. That was the first slide. Now, the next slide is actually going to show the actual deaths by demographic, and we are going to drive it down into Colorado in this slide.
Okay, if you could bring up, here we go.
There we go.
Okay.
So on the left, you'll see these are through March 3rd, so.
Wow.
But these are the most recent statistics I could get. They're from the CDC. The point I want to make here is we're closing schools down. We're not allowing businesses to open. If they do open, It's extremely restricted. We're still, I forget what our coloring book system here is, but it's a joke. We talk about following the science. Yeah.
Right.
So,
yeah, that, well, the science shows, again, what I think people have come to realize, the science, I use it, but that this was a virus that was very contagious, apparently, although one could question the testing procedures, but that it clearly affected older, already people with all kinds of other health issues.
Just like the real flu does.
Just like the real flu, just like strep throat, just like falling down the stairs, just like anything does. Exactly, yeah. Chuck.
Yeah.
And which is interesting, this, because now we've had our wonderful teacher unions who've really demonstrated that they love our kids and love yes. teaching and everything else. But they said, okay, the kids, maybe we bring that graph back up for a second. The kids said, well, okay, sure. The kids don't, but how about us teachers? Well, in case you didn't know, most public school teachers retire by the time they're 50, because that's one of the big perks. So everybody under 50, grand total equals 4%, 4% or a little yeah. over 4%. I mean, the teachers are in no danger.
No.
And it's just amazing. It's just.
It's amazing. And one of the things that everyone needs to understand is getting these numbers, it takes work.
Yeah.
I mean, you can Google, deaths from COVID-19, and all you get are left-wing spin artists.
Garbage.
I mean, it's all stuck. You got to know where to go, and you got to go right to the government. And even if you go to the CDC, you got to know where to go.
You got to know. Well, they changed. I mean, we've seen situations that Michael Talon talking about how they just conveniently cut stuff out of charts you can't see. Well, talk a little bit about, you said you drill it down into Colorado. What can you tell us about Colorado?
Yeah, on the bottom right hand there is the graph of cases, which is the bright orange. And then the deaths, you can barely see. That's the blue line that flats on the bottom.
I don't mean to laugh. I just thought that was the bottom line of the chart.
Yeah.
No, that's not. That's the deaths versus cases.
Yeah. Part of the problem. I mean, I don't want to diminish the fact that a lot of people have died. Right. None of us want to do that. It's not the case. So that's why we have the data over there to show what Chuck said, that these deaths are elderly people who have comorbidities for the most part. Most elderly people get through this thing.
Right.
But if they have other things, COPD, diabetes, they're obese, there's so many other things, then this just is the last domino that pushes them over the edge, right? But so much of this case stuff, though, what is a case? Nobody knows. You ask somebody what a case is. Well, sure, I don't know. I mean, it's a positive PCR test or a positive antigen test.
Right.
And these tests throw out a lot of false positives.
Okay? Right.
I mean, how many people? I mean, think about the University of Kansas had to forfeit their semifinal game in the Big 12 championship because of testing positive. Players tested positive. Nobody ever knows if they really were sick or not. They never follow up.
Right. Well, and the whole thing.
They get kicked out of the tournament.
We've done stuff on that, and I think it's interesting you focus on the mask mandate, too. So here again, I have noticed miraculously since Joe Biden became president, the COVID cases are going down, although now more panic porn. We got to worry about the mutations. We still have to wear masks. But it also seems to me that the masks have not made any difference at all.
No. No, if you go on the NIH website, that's the organization Fauci works for, the highest paid government employee in the country.
He
works for the infectious disease department there. His department published a meta study in July of last year that summarizes, I think it's over 84 different research studies. The conclusion, masks don't work.
Yeah.
It's on his own website.
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Look at what Dr. Redfield said, though, if I could just jump in right at the top of this one. So this is back in July again. And we, the teachers unions want to protect the students. No, not really.
No.
Okay, look at what Redfield said. He said, we're seeing, sadly, greater suicides now in young people than we are deaths from COVID. And also, they're seeing greater deaths from drug overdoses.
Sure.
Than COVID among the young. Okay, let's roll it back and say we didn't do the lockdowns. These people would not have died. They wouldn't have committed suicide, I don't think.
You know, wait, and I think, and maybe let me ask your opinion on this. Let's roll it back and let's say we didn't do the lockdowns. I think what we would have seen, and tell me if your research supports this, so we wouldn't have seen the high unemployment, we wouldn't have seen the suicides, we wouldn't have seen the drug overdoses, and we still would have, I mean, we wouldn't have seen any more cases really either, right? I mean, or more deaths, I mean.
I don't know if you have the statistics, but I'd love to see the number of deaths from flu in 2018 and 2019 compared to, and how many of those, because apparently the flu deaths have just dropped off the charts. They quote unquote no longer exist, and they're substituted by COVID deaths.
Right. Yeah. Well, we have the
Right. Go ahead.
I was going to say, didn't there was a John Hopkins study that said there were no more overall deaths last year than there were the year before? So in other words, we were either for some unknown, bizarre reason, no one died of anything else all year, and all the people who died just died of COVID, or we were attributing deaths to COVID that probably were flu or heart or something else. I mean, you would have expected if COVID was really killing that many people, there would have been a massive spike in number of deaths because it would have still been dying from all of those other things. So, and they wonder why we don't trust them on the vaccines.
You know, one of the things we talk about, what if, your question was, what if we had not locked down? Look at South Dakota, they never locked down.
Yeah.
They're just pumping on all cylinders. Look at Sweden. They did lock down. Then they did some minor tweaking. Okay, they don't have the lowest COVID death in all of Europe, but they're not as bad as a lot of other places. They're on the good side of it, and they didn't do much. They kept the kids in school. So that's what we would have faced. Would we have had deaths? Of course. Would they have been of older people? Yes. I mean, if you were to take New York, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey and subtract the nursing home deaths that those governors should be in jail for, our death numbers would be a lot lower. The governors of those four states should be indicted for murder.
And then election fraud and campaign fraud and all kinds of other things. Yeah. Okay, and what else? You had one other slide? You want to talk about that one? Okay, Thomas, if we could bring up the other slide, please, the final one.
Okay, so here I just want to sort of bring it a little closer to home. The map is from the New York Times, okay?
Oh.
I got to give them credit. I subscribe to everything, even the left-wing loony dog stuff. Mm-hmm. And the New York Times puts this together, and they update it really frequently. So this is 3 days ago. And the map, the colored map, shows where there are mask restrictions, where it's sometimes required, and where it's mandatory. You'll see that Colorado is one of the very few states left where it's still mandatory. Now, that's mostly inside. You don't have to wear it outside here.
Okay.
So, but then let's look at the bottom, the technical comment there. Now, you know, I had to go back to my science background here. So I'm asking you to trust me, but it's my learned scientific opinion that the COVID virus, when it gets ready to cross a state line, it really doesn't know. And there's signs up and everything. And I think Paulus and some of these governors have COVID sensors that are out there, but the virus somehow sneaks in. You know, if we could have built a COVID-19 wall like President Trump wanted to do for illegal aliens, it might have worked, but we didn't do that. And so now, you know, you can see here that we're still locked down. The rest of the country is not. Now, if you say, what about business? So that's over on the right-hand side. There's another map. I couldn't get a copy of it. But the only states that are still restricting business are Colorado. And, of course, Colorado is number 47 in
coincidence? I don't think so.
Go, Paulus, you stupid dummy. Then you've got surprisingly, you got Arizona in there too, but you got New Mexico, California, and Oregon, where businesses are dying. Down at the bottom, This is from Forbes. Yelp did a study last August, and almost 164,000 businesses were shut down at that time. They're saying that 60% of those are almost 100,000 never coming back.
Oh, well, thank God we have those stimulus checks coming.
It's coming to Planned Parenthood, who needs it to kill the babies and
that's
Progress Now and everything else. It's the anti-COVID Democratic relief bill is really what it is. Beloved president,
that chart we looked at first, the 10 worst states that have the most deaths and the worst economy, they're going to get the most money.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, good. Absolutely. That's right.
I think I'm going crazy.
Well, again, as we've said all along, has nothing to do with COVID, has everything to do with power, has everything to do with money grabbing. And I think it's stuff like this, though, like, and maybe that's, if we could bring you up, Thomas, let me ask you this too, because as you said, it's difficult to do research. I think that the tech giants have cracked down. If you just try to Google, I was trying to Google Tucker Carlson and the military, right? Yeah. And you wouldn't believe all that came up was attacks on Tucker Carlson. I'm like, I couldn't even get on the first, like, 3 pages of Google what he actually said, his little soundbite, right? It's to try to get information like this, it is almost impossible because everything is, and you can't convince, well, Google admits they do it. Wikipedia admits that they do it. YouTube and Facebook admit that they are censoring what they believe to be disinformation when actually they're making it impossible to get real information.
That's exactly right, Julie. And the thing that I don't understand is how we can just sit by and let this happen.
Yeah.
We live in an apartment building, and most of the people that live here are Democrats. And some of them now, you know, look at me and they put the sign of the cross up. But I've tried to talk with them, and they are willfully ignorant. They do not want to know.
Yeah.
We were talking about that earlier.
Yeah. Impossible.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think at this point, anybody who looks around and says, you know, I'm not going to go to a restaurant and I'm going to get the vaccine, but I'm still not going to go out because of the mutations. And if I do have to go out, I'm going to wear 3 masks. You're right. That is willful ignorance. I mean, look, we've got the whole freaking press corps talking about the border with the press secretary there. You know, it's like, they're like, no, that's cute. All those kids are cute.
Those are cages. Yeah. Those are condos. Mini condos.
It's like you say, you wonder, are we going crazy here?
Yeah. I mean, Biden's own DHS secretary says he's asking for volunteers. Hey, come on down to the border, you know? And help us catch aliens. What planet are we on?
But Jen Psaki said that Trump had left him at just a crisis thing.
It's Trump's fault. Yeah,
it's Trump's fault because it was totally.
That's why they were wearing those Biden shirts.
Yeah, that's
Trump,
right.
Trump's on those Biden shirts.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we've had some people on the side ask, you know, can they get this map? Can you get the information? Let me go ahead and, if people didn't catch you the first time, just real briefly, your first book, and now you're on a second book. So the answer is yes, you can get the information, but it's in a book. Mm-hmm. So, or you can just kind of watch our podcast, but talk a little bit about
the information we just looked at is in the book I'm writing now. It's called Brick by Brick, The Dismantling of America.
Yeah, perfect.
Okay. Perfect. And when's it coming out?
Well, I got to get through the first 100 days, and it'll be out immediately after that.
Okay.
And my wife's sitting right here. She does. She wonders if she has a husband anymore.
Okay.
Oh, I do.
Well, show your first book, because I think so. What the first book did is you chronicled day by day the events leading up to the election. So go ahead, and where can people get that one?
So they can get that on Amazon.com and just Google 34 days or my name, Roy Johnston. And it comes and it'll come up if they've got Kindle, and if they're Prime, they can get it for free.
Whoa, there you go. Okay. Yeah. And then the second one, what you're also doing then is day by day, sort of chronicling the events of Biden's first 100 days.
That's correct. Yeah. And in this case, I'm taking more license with the chronology. I just finished writing the chapter called A Halftime Update.
Okay.
To give the status, we've done 37 executive orders all of which are bad for America. And I even had the thought the other day that this is getting so bad and I'm getting so depressed doing this research that I've been thinking of maybe I'll just do the first 50 days and call it.
I mean, that's funny, but it's not. I mean, let me ask you that when you started, because I've said, I mean, we knew the Democrats were going to be unleashed, but I didn't think they would be this bad.
Oh, I did.
Yeah, Chuck did. Oh, yeah, but what was were you right? So you're like, I can't even take it to 100 days.
Well, you know, it's hard to make, you don't want to make predictions, but I do in the back of the book here, where are we going? And I did not think, I mean, we all sat there and watched election night. And it was like, Trump's going to do it. And then all of a sudden the bottom falls out and here we are. So where are we going from here? I think it's going to get, I hate to say this, worse, faster.
Yes.
Because they're running out of time. They're looking at 2022.
Yep.
And they know they're going to get kicked out then. They've got to do it now. It's just like when Obama had his supermajority in his first 2 years, crammed through stupid care, you know, and all this other stuff that they did. They only got two things done. They did name a lot of new post offices, by the way. I've got a book on Obama coming out later in the year, but he did a lot of post office naming.
There we go. Well, I wish Biden would spend more time on that then and not on destroying the country.
Well, you know, Biden has to take his naps is the only thing.
Right. Well,
how can he name the post offices after his Secretary of Defense when he doesn't know who he is 5 feet away, you know?
Yeah.
Let's call that post office. So what's his name?
The guy over there who runs that outfit.
Well, and it's kind of alarming now. What if they called it Cuomo post office, right? You'd have to cancel that. I mean, the Dems, they're so crazy. It's like what they like this day, they may be totally canceled. We couldn't call it Dr. Seussville. I mean, God knows what we can't talk about tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, sir, listen, thank you for your time. You've been wonderful.
Great
check it out. All right. Thank you. We'll have you back on. You're writing too many books. So.
My life now.
Yeah, give your wife our sympathies.
she heard you. Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye. Thank you. You know, we just have a few minutes left, but I did want to talk a little bit about.
Oh, you got to play the Tucker Carlson.
That's what I was going to go to. Yeah. Okay. If we could. So Tucker Carlson, if you haven't been following along. So the Pentagon made a big thing while they were bombing Syria and Syria was bombing us and other important things of announcing that they're redoing the hairstyles and the fashion for the military. Yeah. And they're including maternity suits.
Yeah. For the fashion
flight line. Suits. Right. Yeah, and Tucker Carlson, as many people did, made the observation that, like, you know, the average pregnant military woman is not jumping out of an airplane into the war-torn country in their maternity flight suit.
You never know.
And the Pentagon started attacking him, which was bizarre. This wasn't like random military guys. This was on their official PR sites, right?
The Department of Defense official site.
And they were saying things like to Tucker, hey, if you thought that was an attack, wait till you see our real attacks, and here's our squad and stuff. So Tucker, did he back down? Well, let's see. Thomas, if we could play the Tucker Carlson soundbite.
Talk show hosts. Friends called us in concern. Are you guys all right? And for a minute, we'll concede we were almost rattled. Then we realized if the woke generals treat us like they've treated the Taliban, we'll be fine. 20 years later, the Taliban are still here. Maybe we ought to promise the Pentagon that we'll get rid of traditional gender rules on this show, change the pronouns, defeat the patriarchy, and all that. Then they'd send us billions in unmarked $100 bills as a reward. They've certainly done that before. And that might really kickstart our struggling opium poppy business. Something to think about. Anyway, we're fine. So thank you for the concern.
But there's been a lot of backlash. You guys are like, what is going on in the country? We're under the Biden administration, under the Trump administration, the Obama Department weaponized all of the agencies. Now you've got the military reaching out and threatening, I think, and clearly trying to intimidating talk show hosts who they disagree with, who's making us.
Our military is in for good shape. It's
maybe that's why they have so much problem guarding the Capitol. You know, I mean, it's insane. Insanity. Mm. So I think, well, no, now I'm depressed, though, actually.
Because no, being depressed, Julie.
Arash was like, no, it's going to get worse. You know, you're like, it's going to get worse. Dr. Johnson, like, no, it's going to get worse. Thank God for you guys out there listening. I got to tell you.
Oh, wait, they're all writing in. It's going to get worse.
Yeah. But at least it gives us hope. There are a lot of us out there.
There are a lot.
And we will not stop giving you the truth straight up as we see it.
Unless they bomb us.
Unless, but then we'll pretend we're like Tucker Carlson and we'll start calling each other. I don't know what. No gender pronouns and things like that. Like you said, we'll do it that way.
All right, everybody.
Hey,
one more thing. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to tell people where they can find us. ChuckandJulie.com is where you can get all of the podcasts. Love to have you subscribe to us on YouTube as well. And also sign up for our newsletter. We'll be sending that out, the next one coming out tomorrow. Let me see if we've got more comments here. Well, thank you. Oh, yes, from Sandra. More youngins like Arash is what we need. You're absolutely right there. Thank you to everybody on Zoom. Thank you to Dr. Johnson and Arash and to Thomas, everybody at BBS.
And everybody at BBS to keep us straight. All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you on the midweek hump day.